So we're unable to stream live, unfortunately. There is no Cricket Wireless. There is no Clear Wireless. There is no Tether Wireless.
I do have Verizon, but it's 1G.
1G.
So 1G.
So if
broadcast.
You still have that brick cell phone, you can get a signal. So we are recording this for our show. We'll have this. Well, you're listening to us now on Monday. So happy Monday, everyone. We're enjoying the 7th annual Portland Hemp Stock out here at the Kelly Point Park at the confluence of the Columbia and Willamette Rivers. And we're just in the shade of the Hemposium tent. The setup's kind of weird this year. The main stage is like, it's almost like we're in a separate alcove area.
It almost seems like a completely different venue from the 2 years before, because they have the layout's a little different. But it's gorgeous here, and it's really warm, but I didn't see anybody suffering heat stroke. There's lots of water available.
Yeah.
And the vendors have been great.
Yeah, great vendors out there. The folks from the Casher and the Grinder Card folks, they're here. I stopped over by Herb Age's booth. Ben from Oregon Hempworks is here, and he says hi, Iva. Hi, Iva. Ben from Oregon Hempworks says hi.
And right across from the Hemposium, people in the Northwest, we don't get all this sunshine. It just comes to us like 1 weekend at a time. So right across from the Hemposium, you can get a spray-on tan for $15 and look like you've lived in Hawaii all summer.
Well, isn't that helpful?
So a lot of different vendors, not all to do with hemp and marijuana, just a lot of people out here. And it's been, again, a really great event.
Yeah, we've had a couple of panels here. We had a panel that featured a look at all the initiatives. And what I really liked about it, we, of course, had three initiatives that we discussed here in Oregon. Jen Alexander was here with OCTA. Doug McVeigh was here with the Oregon Marijuana Policy Initiative. And then Lee Berger with Sensible Oregon. So we got a lot of talk about the Oregon stuff. And then Don Skacki is here. He's with I-505, the Yep Wah people. Across from us here at Hemposium is the I-502 booth, the NAW booth. That's right, folks. In Washington State, they're voting on Yep and NAW. What is this, Jed Clampett running the state? What the hell is going on?
Politics makes strange bedfellows.
So, but in addition, and I was really surprised that he was here, John Payne, I think his name was, from
Missouri?
Missouri.
Yeah, with their initiative. And
the Show Me One.
That was great. That panel was phenomenal. Everybody had such really inspiring things to say. That was probably the most interesting initiative. You know, because some of the initiatives, you get bogged down in all that language, but all of the speakers were really dynamic and really making the case that they might not be perfect, but we need to vote yes.
I think the line that I took away from
that one, message.
The line I took away from that one is, it's not the details, it's the precedent.
Right, absolutely. And like we said, we always know there will probably be some legal challenge.
Yeah.
We have to expect that. But you're right, the precedent needs to be set. And all of those were dynamic speakers. I good luck to all of those initiatives.
Yeah, it was something that I said during the Prop 19 days was, the headline won't be California passes terrible law that does such and such to marijuana. The headline will be California legalized pot.
Right.
You know, Washington has the same opportunity. Washington legalized pot. And then while those of us in the know might grumble about how or what happened with it,
or that they called it pot, we'll all be mad. Well, whatever, right, we're going to be mad about.
But regardless of that, for the rest of the mainstream world, it will be, oh my God, a state legalized marijuana.
You know, I Jennifer Alexander's been on the show a couple of times.
Yeah.
And she did she's really an inspiring speaker. Her speech today, she was on fire.
Yeah.
And made a lot of really great points. And
you'll be hearing some of the highlights from this as well. We recorded a lot of these panels today. Mm-hmm. So we'll be bringing you the highlights throughout this week on Normal Show Live. You can catch it every weekday, 1 o'clock Pacific at live.normal.org. Replay is at 4 o'clock and 10 o'clock. We got plenty of the flyers here if anybody wants to grab a flyer to learn more about the show. Another panel that we had, the media panel, was a really great panel.
That was. It was nice to see Ngayo. Did you see how he was dressed?
Oh, Ngayo always dresses for Pimp Stock.
It's 95 degrees out here, and Ngayo looks gorgeous.
Yes.
In a I don't know, what was that, chartreuse purple velvet suit with a striped shirt on underneath. Always cool as a cucumber, Ngayo.
So what I liked about that panel, we had Melissa Ballin on the panel, and she was she's the co-director of the new Jack Harrow documentary that's
going
to come out, The Emperor Wears No Clothes. And you know, worked with Jack in doing a lot of the video stuff that he did. So we had video media. And then we had the guy from the Oregon Cannabis Connection, who also does radio, the Rogue River Radio, Justin Jenkins.
We had SSDP.
We had SSDP, right? Sam Shepard from SSDP doing all the internet media, all of the social media, the networking, and all that stuff that we talk about all the time. And then, and Gaio, yeah, doing magazine publishing, right?
West Coast
Cannabis. every corner of the media, we had somebody that had a thing doing on it. So another great panel. And then the last panel we just finished up with was Why Be Normal? And I really liked this. You know, of course I did, because it was a panel about normal, right?
Right.
But specifically about normal, right? Not just, you know, being involved in marijuana reform, but why
I found that interesting. I think that's the first time I've ever seen a panel about normal.
Right. And,
which was
so
great.
It featured Cliff Duvall from Normal of Waco, Inc. He's here and all the way from Waco, Texas. And he gave a really moving story about how much his health has improved through the use of medical cannabis and how much fight he's had to go through in Texas.
And he looks great.
Yeah. He looks great. It's like Cannabis Cure too. I mentioned that you know, we see these guys that, you know, we first meet them when they you know, like Cliff's from Texas, Cure's from the UK, where they can't get decent weed, and then after they hang out in the West Coast for a while, they gain weight, they look great.
It's amazing. It's you know, I'm more of a legalizer than a medicalizer. We've talked about that, but it is hard. It's hard to see cases like this and not say, okay, come on, seriously? Are you seeing what I'm seeing? I mean, it really is amazing.
Right.
And also on the panel, two Pauline Sabin Award winners. We had Anna Diaz from Oregon Normal and the Normal Women's Alliance Steering Committee. And then Madeline Martinez, who has to have the double business card. You know those folding ones? She has the double business card. LEAP speaker, Oregon Normal Executive Director, National Normal Board of Directors,
World
Cannabis
Famous
Cafe, Pauline Sabin Award winner.
Right.
It's like, hold on forever and ever. So they all gave really good talks about like why personally they wanted to get involved specifically with Normal. A lot of it had to do with the name recognition, and a lot of it had to do with just geography. You know, just you happen to be where there's a Normal chapter.
Right.
You know, Cliff gave a great talk about, you know, seeking to start one. Like, he just had it. You know, he said, I've had it. I've
got to
do something
to change the laws. Something has to change in my community.
Oh, and breaking news from that as well. I guess it's not too breaking for our Texas listeners. They probably already know, but Cliff is running.
And this
will be Monday. Yeah, Cliff is running for, I don't know what district is, but state representative in Texas.
I think he said 16.
Something like Texas had a lot of districts. So I don't know, but Cliff Duvall, check him out.
I mean, that is amazing. Our own Calico is running for Congress as well.
Right.
And that's the first time we're seeing activists get involved on such a deep level. It's great to see. I mean, eventually, all politicians that run are going to have to answer that question anyway. Let's put our people up there. If you know of an activist who is running, you know what? Call him up and say, can I donate a few hours to your campaign? I don't even care if you vote for him, but let's support each other. I think that's amazing that we have some activists now running for a political office.
And it's, you know, it's no longer the scarlet letter anymore, right?
It's,
you know,
they're looking for that vote.
Yeah, you know, coming up in the 80s, you know, remember when Justice Ginsburg in 87 admitted he's up for the Supreme Court. He admitted that he had smoked marijuana at Harvard. They pulled his nomination. And then, you know, Bill Clinton running in 91 had to say, well, I didn't inhale, right? So they always had to hide it, right? Now,
that's like one of those embarrassing stoner moment history. Wah, wah, wah. Uh-huh. Oh, really, Bill? Is that what you said?
Well, Christopher Hitchens, who went to Oxford with Clinton, said that he didn't inhale, that he really liked the brownies.
That's right.
So maybe he was...
Hey, I've seen Bill Clinton eat when he was on the campaign. He probably inhaled those brownies.
Probably inhaled those brownies. I was going to say, this is the guy that asked what's the definition of the word is in a testimony. So, you know, I'm sure he can massage the word inhaled to, you know, figure out what he wants to say. But yeah, it's not the black mark that it used to be. So now, having voiced opposition to the drug war is not automatic disqualifier for running for office.
Right.
You know, having admitted to smoking pot is no longer disqualifier for office. In fact, it puts you in the majority of your constituents.
Right. And two different panels, but again, two of the speakers close to our hearts. Madeline Martinez was talking about going after the League of Women Voters.
Oh, yeah, great.
What a powerful voting block that is, and the importance of starting, you know, the Normal Women's Alliance. And also Jen Alexander saying that when she's out getting petitions for one of the initiatives, that she has a lot of people all day long to her say, you know what, I don't smoke pot, but I'll sign it.
Yeah.
And talking about reaching outside of our community. Obviously, the community's strong. Every one of these festivals are super popular. I mean, this one's really hard to get to, and yet there are gazillions of people here having a great time. I mean, we're really dedicated to these community, family-like festivals, but to really reach outside of our community, that's the next step.
Yeah, and that's my only complaint. Well, not my only complaint, but one of my complaints about this venue. It's gorgeous as it is, but we did the first one at the riverfront in downtown Portland, where they hold the blues festival, where they hold the fireworks, where they hold every civic
thing.
And
for me, that was one of the first festivals I went to, and it was like magical land. Yeah. Coming from Idaho, skipping through downtown Portland with that beautiful skyline, the riverfront, all the boats, and then people just enjoying cannabis in this free way out in a public park, sitting on the grass, blew my mind.
Yeah, and I think that's why we're not there anymore, is because the city doesn't want to promote, like, hey, look at us, we're the stoners.
And that leads to the rest of the story.
Yeah.
And then Selwood Park, they had it in Selwood Park, which, again, a really great venue.
And the point, though, that I'm getting to, sorry about that, Greg, is that, you know, there at the riverfront, it's not just preaching to the choir. There's people walking by, you know, that are doing their daily jog. There's people walking to work. There's people biking, you know, just for fun, that aren't part of the choir, that as they walk by have to hear the loudspeakers with some speaker talking about marijuana.
Right.
That's what I loved about it. Here, it's guaranteed to only be heard by the choir, and I think that's why the city of Portland has this out here.
Interesting. Yeah, because you park in one place, and then the park is very large, and you have to walk through a forest to get here, and then it's kind of stretched out a little bit like Hempfest, also in Seattle. But Hempfest is stretched out just because of its sheer size.
Sure.
This is sort of stretched out because of the confines of the way the park is set up.
Right.
So.
But it's a good time out here at the Portland Hempstock. Beautiful day. It's Portland decided to have summer a month shifted later.
I know, really.
We get like the hottest days here.
And honestly, I haven't complained at all about the heat today. It's been really lovely, and now the temperature's going down, so I think we're going for, well, this will be on Monday. We're not streaming live, never mind.
That's right. Well, we got another day of stuff to record for you. We'll bring all sorts of stuff. We're going to get some interviews here when we bring
maybe
bring
we'll some find a satellite
over.
Truck and this will
maybe
be
we'll steal a satellite truck from KGW or something. And also tomorrow, which is yesterday if you're listening on the podcast. Now.
It's like a time traveling show.
It's like,
now.
Whoa, my mind is blown. Tomorrow my brother Josh is playing, so we'll have some recording of Josh playing. And I hope he's doing Get Stoned Together, but I don't know if he can do it acoustically. So we shall see.
Yeah, and the Jerry Garcia Family Band is playing, which are a group of Portland musicians that are amazing. If you like that kind of music, and you know what. It's great to see them here, too. We'll be seeing them tonight.
Well, thanks for listening to our recorded version report from day one at Portland Hempstock 2011. For Cannabis Carry, I'm Radical Russ, and take care of each other, tokers.